As we make the tape today, it is Sunday, September 5th, and we're in this Labor Day weekend. For Faye and I, it's a special weekend as we celebrate our 49th wedding anniversary on Monday, September the 6th. We have both focused on following God's word regarding marriage, regarding a husband and a wife and family, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3. And we are very grateful for each other, and we invite you to rejoice with us. Now today I want to give a message titled The Assurance of Sanctification. I have never read that phrase or heard of it anywhere. The assurance of sanctification. There is the assurance of justification, the assurance of salvation, but I think a vital, essential message for today is on the assurance of sanctification. I have a concern for Christians who do not believe they are free from the law. They are struggling to try to measure up and cannot. So they live in a state of guilt. And it would be my hope and prayer today that they could be relieved and set free and have the assurance of sanctification. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we approach this important subject and this vital passage of Scripture, we pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us eternal truth that will affect our life today and forever. Bless your word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our basic passage of Scripture today is Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Would you please get out your Bible and turn to that passage as we study the truth from this text. In approaching this subject about Christians struggling to try to measure up and cannot, and as we think about it in a broad sense, we may say, what is Christianity? Is it people who try to obey the Ten Commandments? Is it people who gain righteousness by their works and goodness? Just what is it? I think the contemporary message is just that. People who are trying to obey, people who are trying to measure up and yet struggle, trying to measure up to God's righteousness and cannot. So what do we do about that? What can we say about it? Well, it's interesting that with the beginning of football season, the reporters will come and interview the coaches, and they'll say, "Coach, what are you doing to prepare for this season?" And probably 90% of the coaches will say, "We just have to get back to the basics." And that's what we want to say today about the Christian life. Let's get back to the basic doctrinal truths of the Word of God. In thinking about what is Christianity, I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and this is what it says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, there are many who stop at the first part of this phrase with, I can do all things. And through positive thinking and possibility thinking and certain psychological gimmicks, you can be successful, you can do whatever you want to, you can achieve any level. I can do all things. Well, then there are some that go a little further and say, through Christ, I can do all things through Christ. And that's a good thing, but it doesn't end there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who enables me, who empowers me. And that's what we want to learn today. Now let's read the text from Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And this text is filled with vital, essential, doctrinal, theological truth that is vital for our day. Interesting that it's an instructional passage. It's a doctrinal passage, but it also includes the life experience of Abraham. Well, let's just read it. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? And this is Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So, this passage of Scripture, as I indicated, is based on Genesis 15:6, where in the experience of Abraham, God comes to him. Now this text reveals relief and rest through grace for those who are struggling. Let's just make some observations about the text. Abraham, the son of Terah, was moving toward Canaan. And God stepped into Abraham's life. Now, this brings up a subject that is really a current debate today, where we hear Christian leaders say, oh, God will never force himself on you. You will never have to do anything that violates your free will. Well, if that is true, that the outcome of history depends upon the flimsy whim of human free will, we are all in real trouble. If God does not force himself on human beings and does not intervene in historical events, we are in real trouble. God takes charge. God takes control. He is not subject to the human will. God stepped into Abraham's life. Now, there were many people living in that area. Why Abraham? Well, God had chosen Abraham. Out of himself, God made that decision. Here is election. God had chosen Abraham to be the father of the Jewish nation, through whom the Savior would be born. Now here is Abraham in the land of the Chaldeans and moving toward Canaan. And one morning he's sitting in his tent. And maybe he's having breakfast. And Abraham is going to have lamb chops. And probably some kind of high fiber grain cereal. And some pomegranate juice. And suddenly, there's a message from God. By the way, Abraham could have eaten pork chops because he's not yet under the law. But we're more safe to say he was eating lamb chops. But there he is that day, not known to him what was going to happen. But God communicates to Abraham and gives him a message. Abraham, go to the land which I will show you, and I will make of you a mighty nation, and through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. Now, here are some important observations, and beginning with God's initiation. Abraham did not come to God. God came to Abraham. And God communicated with Abraham. And in this communication, here's a vital point. There is no mention of worthiness. Now, in the book of Job, we read that Job was a righteous man and he worshiped God and so on. But here, there's nothing. It's just Abraham, a man. There's no statement of godliness. There is no indication of at all of worship. In fact, it was a pagan land. And there is no statement of merit. This is very important for the Christian world to know and see today. First of all, there's God's initiating. Secondly, there's no mention of worthiness. Thirdly, there is no mention of the law. There is no reference to the Decalogue, Ten Commandments, not under law. Neither is there a reference to ethical demands. The conditional promise to what we have today is the message of, if you do this, then God can do that. If you don't do this, God cannot do that. So today, we, by our goodness, or our works, clear the way for God to work. That is insulting to the deity of our God. This is an unconditional communication to Abraham. Go to the land I will show you, and I will make you such and such. The problem with Christianity today is in the current struggle, it's always conditional. The majority of people today in evangelical circles are unwilling to accept the grace of God completely. Now, the grace of God is accepted to a certain degree, but not fully, not grace all the way. There are evangelists who say, God has done 99%, but the 1% is up to you. I have heard a Christian leader say that in regard to this, it's 100% God and 100% human. That is not biblical. Neither is it biblical to say that it is 99% God and 1% human. Same error. Now, Ray Stedman used to write and teach, everything coming from God, nothing coming from me. That is biblical. God does it. He came to Abraham. He did not require anything from Abraham, and he did not put Abraham under the law. Now, another very important observation in this passage is the attention given to Abraham's faith. It says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God came, God communicated, Abraham believed Yahweh. There's nothing else mentioned here. He believed and nothing added. Abraham trusted God. Now we say, well, what is the source of Abraham's faith? He did not have faith. It did not come from Abraham. And we know from the Word of God that faith is the gift of God. Does not originate with human beings. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Abraham's faith is not a good work. Our faith is not a good work on our part. Now, why has God arranged it this way? So that there would be no boasting. It is a mistake for any Christian to boast. We have nothing of which we can boast. It is not our faith. It is not our decision. It is not our will. It is God's grace working in us, creating faith. Now, Abraham believed God because God gave him the faith to believe. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now we've come to the very heart of what can be bring relief and freedom for struggling Christians today. Abraham believed nothing else, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now that's glory. That is grace. And that is what we need. Now, the Greek word has been translated different ways in the text which I read this morning. We read the word accounted. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Other translations say it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Another translation will say it was credited to him for righteousness. Whatever word is used in the translation, it's very, very real that there was something done to Abraham from outside. Abraham did not make himself righteous. It was credited to him for righteousness by God himself. That's what God has already done. We do not struggle for righteousness. It is the gift of God. Now, righteousness includes other truths that we need to consider. God's gift is a package. The grace of God, the gift of faith, the gift of salvation, the gift of justification, and the gift of sanctification. Here's an error today that I observe frequently. There are evangelical Christian leaders preaching, we are justified by faith and we are sanctified by works or by keeping the law. In Galatians 5, we read, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Christian life is not living to keep the Ten Commandments. The Christian life is three things: honoring God the Father, exalting Christ the Lord, and depending upon the Holy Spirit. That is Christianity. That is righteousness. And it comes by God's declaration, God doing it, God declaring, proclaiming, we are justified. We are made righteous. We are sanctified. We are forgiven. We are covered. We are secure. We are free from the law with no condemnation. That's the message. That is freedom. That is relief. And that is rest. You might say, well, Bill, what do we do? Well, we respond. God has come in grace and initiated and communicated and declared as righteous. How do we respond? Well, we trust him. We just trust him, not because of the threats of the law. The law can no longer condemn the believer. We trust him without craving for signs and wonders such as the Jews. Show us a sign and we'll believe. No, Abraham believed God, period. He believed God without external proofs. He just believed God. And God accepted Abraham's faith. And God counted Abraham righteous. Now, how do we conclude this text? How is it applied? It is applied by prayer. I pray, Lord, cause me to believe you for righteousness. And I come to you today for relief and rest from a guilty conscience of not being able to measure up, knowing that I have already measured up through your gift of Christ, gift of grace through Christ. I pray that God's people, the family and friends I know who struggle and who try to gain points with God by effort and by works, and from a lack of assurance, I pray they would be set free. To respond, to believe God for justification, for righteousness, and for sanctification. Those who walk in the Spirit are free from the law. What a grace, what a glory, what a truth that God has provided a way for us to live here on this earth until he takes us to himself to have rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. If this morning or today is your, whatever day you're listening to this tape, if the Christian life is a struggle for you, and you're trying to gain points with God, you're trying to be righteous through your own effort, hear the words, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Relief, peace, and joy, so that you can live to honor God the Father, to exalt Christ the Lord, and to live in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. There is an assurance of sanctification in the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we wait before you for the Holy Spirit to visit our hearts and initiate your action in us to communicate the message from your word to our life today. Give us faith to believe in grace fully, completely, and totally, and rest in your gift to us. Cause it to happen. Set your people free. And give us peace and rest. In Jesus' name, amen.